Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It's great to have you here today on this little bit brisk day. I'm still looking forward to spring. Talked to my wife yesterday. It was 70 degrees in Clovis. I wish it was here. Anyway, a couple announcements today. First, a reminder that the deacons are collecting food for the food bank. And on the back there, they have a nice display of all the items they're looking for, little slips of paper that reminders for you to pick things up. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so please turn out if you can make it down here. Ing is going to be here Ash Wednesday, delivering the service normally at 7 o'clock. A reminder for all the session members, the sign-up sheet for greeters, go check online. I know that Sarah had sent out a note, so check it and sign up if you can. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Arlie to talk about the slices and sacred stories.
Well,
yes?
The sign up there says April the 6th. The bulletin says the
16th. The 16th is correct, and that sign will be changed next week.
Okay.
Good morning. I just want to share a little bit of information. We on session are really very excited about this new venture, experiment, test, going out on a limb kind of thing that we're doing on Wednesdays in Lent. It came to us as an idea really from our friend Ingrid, and she said we wanted to do something during Lent. We weren't really sure. We didn't want to put any more pressure on caretaker Tom, who is now converted from minister to nurse. So we were kind of torn as to what we wanted to do, and we are doing slices and sacred stories. It's a 1 hour. That's it, 6:30 to 7:30. We're going to start at 6:30 with some pizza and some cold drinks, some fellowship, hi, welcome, where are you from, what's your name? Then we're going to have somebody from the community just tell a 15 or 20 minute story about a time when God really touched their lives, and a personal story about how God has helped them through, or how they felt challenged, or something that relates to their relationship with God. And then we'll close with some cookies and some more fellowship and dessert, and again, fellowship questions for the speaker if you have any. And it's open to the community. It's free. It's going to be in Fellowship Hall. Well, it's going to be in the CE building, but it's going to be in the room next to the office so that it's a little smaller and more intimate. Hopefully by the end of 6 weeks, we need to move into Fellowship Hall. But we really encourage everybody to come. We encourage everybody to bring a friend. And we also encourage everybody to bake cookies for the dessert serving. There's lots of recipes online where you can use applesauce instead of eggs. So if you have a problem with the cost of eggs, see if you can find a recipe that will substitute something for eggs so that you can do that. But as I said, we just really wanted to open ourselves up to the community. Not a lot of the local churches are having Wednesday services during Lent. We've invited the local churches, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutheran, and Catholic, to join us. So we're hoping that we will have a good response. And we will also have posters printed next week. We actually have them this week, but the date's wrong. So we will have them next week. If anybody would like to hang one up at your doctor's office, the grocery store, the library, any place where you think somebody might be interested in joining us on Wednesday evening, we certainly would love to see a good turnout and hopefully introduce ourselves to the community. Some of the people who will be speaking are from our congregation. Some of them are not. They are from around the community. So it's hopefully a diverse group, and hopefully will attract some attention. So we look forward to your support.
Friends, that is a great design and opportunity for you to bring a relative, a neighbor, a friend, say, come join me with pizza at my church on Wednesday night. I hope you'll do that and make this a joyful gathering of many people. I like the idea of having someone talk about how God is working in their life. That's wonderful. We used to, when I was growing up, we used to have that as a kid in church. It was called testimony time. We didn't do it very often. As a child, I never listened to the sermon. That was way over my head, but occasionally we had what we called testimony time. And somebody would stand up and would talk about how God was at work in their life. I listened to every word, and it was just so easy to understand, and it was interesting. The janitor from the high school would stand up and say, "This is how God has been working in my life." And then the bank vice president would stand up and he would talk. And it was just wonderful to hear about how people were experiencing God's work and God's grace and love in their lives. So I'm sure you'll hear something like that. And yes?
Can I add something else?
No. No. Yeah. Yes, please do.
Or anybody has a story they would like to share, we still have room for you to do that. So
yeah.
Let me know and we'll put you on the calendar. We would welcome more stories. We have every week filled, but yeah. I'm sure that some of the people would be happy to do 10 minutes instead of 20. So if anybody wants to share a story, the more the merrier. Yeah. Love to have you.
Let me tell you, God is at work in all of our lives. And it's just a matter of giving voice. This is how God has blessed, strengthened, guided my life. And I give thanks for that. So be one of those, and let's make this a time of wonderful gathering. Several have asked about my wife, Audrey, and someone said, well, you're going to say something from the pulpit, so I won't ask you to tell me personally. So here we are. I was there for the surgeon coming out of the operating room who said it could not have gone better. So that's the good news. The bad news is, and I told you this already, my wife's a crybaby. She admits it, you know. And so, you know, there's pain and she's taking medicine. And, you know, after 3 days, she wants to be able to be normal. You know, none of that's possible. And so I want to thank all of you for e-cards, for cards in the mail, for phone calls, for flowers, for blueberries, and all the ways that many of you have expressed your care and your prayers for Audrey. In good time. I didn't tell her that I read somewhere after 6 months you feel normal. I'm not going to go there, but hopefully in a couple of weeks she'll be better. She did smile yesterday for the first time. That was kind of a breakthrough. So thanks again for your kindness there. It's good to be here and it's good to be with you on this wonderful Lord's Day as we anticipate the soon arrival of Lent on Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Today we'll be making even a step in that direction in our readings and in the service. So let's join together our lives and our hearts and voices as we worship God. Jesus began his ministry to the world, led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In those 40 days and in that place, Jesus was faced with hunger, doubt, and temptation.
We have to worship the one who is always obedient.
Jesus left the wilderness, faithful and obedient to God, rejoicing in the one in whom he trusted.
We seek to be faithful disciples, led by Christ, rejoicing in the Lord our God.
Let us rise, if able, very carefully rise. We don't want anyone falling, but very carefully rise, if able. Let's join our hearts and lives in song.
Oh,
Together in one voice, we bring our confession. We confess, instead of following where you lead, O God, we follow a tempter who shows us a vision of the world that is a mere counterfeit of true life. We allow ourselves to be deceived and enticed by cheap imitations of love, abundance, and joy. We have been tempted to lean on our own understanding and have not acknowledged you in all ways. Lord, have mercy. Help us to trust you, to journey with us, and to guide us. Help us to rest in your promise to never leave us or forsake us. And in this silence now, we bring our personal confession. Now, friends, hear this. The prophet Isaiah. Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Friends, we are God's forgiven and forgiving people. Thanks be to God. Now we affirm the creed and belief of the church. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Send your blessing, send your greeting to those around you.
His power and rescue.
We continue to be in prayer for our world, for one another, for all the needs around us, family, friends, church. Barb Krause has hip surgery a week from tomorrow. She's in the very back, and if she comes next week, she'll stay in the very back with a mask on, probably. So when you come in, if she's here, just wave at her. Don't get near her. We don't want her to get sick the day before surgery. And so, Barb, we have you in our prayers for that special day.
Sherry. Sherry. Sherry DeVito.
Not Barb. How'd I get that wrong? Who is Sherry?
Way in the back.
You're Sherry?
I'm Sherry.
I'm new. You know, when you're new, you can make all kinds of mistakes. After I'm here a while, then you get mad at me for that. But. Sherry. Okay, Sherry. I was giving you credit for a card or an email, too. All right. Sherry, let's start this over. Sherry's having his hip surgery a week from tomorrow. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Sherry, our prayers are with you, and if we see you next week, we'll wave and wish you well and keep you in our prayers. Perhaps the greatest theologian of the 20th century was Karl Barth, Swiss theologian. His desk is in the Pittsburgh Seminary Library. If you go in and go upstairs, there's a room, and there's the desk where he wrote all of his work. It's very impressive just to look at it. There's a sign that says, "Do not touch." You know what we all do when we go in? The first thing we do, we touch it anyway. The desk where the greatest theologian of the 20th century wrote all of his great stuff. It was Karl Barth who said, "To clasp hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world." Isn't that beautiful? This is our uprising against the disorder of the world as we clasp hands and as we join hearts in prayer. So let us pray together. Oh God, on this Sunday, before Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent, we pray for all of those who struggle and all of those who are tempted. We pray for those who are tempted to look the other way when a wrong is happening. We pray for those who are tempted to misuse their gifts for purely selfish purpose. We pray for those who are tempted to stay in a safe place rather than hear your call to a new path. We pray for those who are tested almost beyond their endurance. We pray for those in positions of heavy responsibility who feel overloaded to the point of collapse. We pray for those who watch a loved one suffer. We pray for those who are persecuted because of their faith and who feel stretched beyond their limit. And so we pray that the strong may use their energies wisely and gently, that the clever may employ their facilities for good ends, that the rich may share their wealth to uplift and bless, that the powerful may use their position as a blessing to humanity, and that those of strong faith may walk humbly and affirm the weaker ones. We pray for this church, its ministries of love and outreach and caring. We pray for all the churches. Read our thoughts and weigh our feelings. Save us in our time of trial. Deliver us from whatever imprisons. We bring our prayers in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Once again, we rise in body if possible, but always in spirit as we gather to sing our hymn led by the Spirit. Please be seated and let us join together in bringing our gifts.
we bring our gifts and pray that you will make them special, precious blessings to the world to which Christ has come to save. Amen.
We have two readings from the New Testament this morning. The first one is the temptation of Jesus, three temptations. Here's the pretest. Can you name the three temptations? Okay. Can you name one temptation? Anyone, can you name one temptation?
Chocolate.
What was it? Chocolate?
Yeah.
All right, listen for the three temptations.
Luke 4, 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time.
Amen. This is the last of the sermons on the series of the Lord's Prayer. And from Matthew 6, in the familiar King James language. "After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. O God, may our lives be yours this day as you feed us with your word and grace. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's in the King James. It's not in most of the recent modern translations. Why? Well, because the earliest manuscripts don't have it. When King James Version was translated in 1611, they didn't have the best manuscripts as we have today. The earliest manuscripts don't have it. And so how did it get into the Bible? Well, there are various theories. The one I like is that it was part of the oral tradition. Now, oral tradition in a pre-literate society is very highly developed. People told stories and repeated the stories and repeated the stories and repeated the stories so that when it came time to pass the story on to the next generation, it was intact. What do you do in a dark night when there's no television, no radio, no video games, no computers, no newspapers? What do you do on those long nights of darkness? Well, you sit around the family and you tell stories. And you tell the story again and the story again. You see how that works. And so we know, historians and archaeologists know, that this oral tradition stuff in the pre-literate society was very highly accurate and sophisticated. And so my best take on this is that "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory" was part of that oral tradition that simply didn't make its way into writing until the 4th century. And isn't it beautiful? Don't we love to hear it read? Don't we love to hear it sung, even by non-professionals, amateurs, who get up and sing the Lord's Prayer, and we wait for that last beautiful part. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." This is at the very heart of God. The kingdom, the power, and the glory belong to God alone. These things reside in God's heart. But of course, our temptation is to want to achieve these things. We want to make them happen from our strength, ability, cleverness. So the story of Jesus and the temptation. This is the beginning of Lent. This was read for us this morning. Jesus, after his baptism, now realizes that God has called him into this special role. He's a special person. He goes into the wilderness, does not eat, spends 40 days in prayer and fasting to try to understand, who am I? What does it now mean that I will be God's voice, God's face, God's representation to humankind? And while he is famished and hungry, the tempter appears. The tempter speaks. "Hello, Son of God. I've heard your prayers. You don't think I can hear your prayers as well as God? I know what you're praying. You want to be God's special agent. I'm here to help. This is your lucky day." You want kingdoms? Oh, I've got kingdoms. I've got plenty of kingdoms. The kingdoms are always following what I have to say. What kingdoms do you want? You want Egypt? You want the pyramids? You want the beautiful pictures in Luxor, the art? What do you want? What kingdom do you want? You want the glory of Rome, its roads, its laws, its architecture, its military might? What do you want? You want the hanging gardens of Babylon? Just tell me. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, we might have to break a few eggs, you know, to make an omelet. You've got to break a few eggs. But I'll give you the kingdoms. Power? You want power? I know all about power. Power is my middle name. I know the power of the fist. I know that with a fist you can change the world. You can do anything you want to do with a powerful fist. Change a stone, bread into stones into bread, whatever it is. Whatever power you want. You want power? I'll give you power. Glory. You want glory? Oh, I know all about glory. People will do anything for glory. Why? I have kings, earthly kings, who kill their own wives for glory. I have kings not only who will kill their own wives, but kill their own children. People will do anything. They will go to any extreme. They will break any rule for glory. People thirst. They have to have it. They have to feel as if they're in control. They have to feel as if other people need to bow down to them, do their bidding. You want kingdoms? You want power? You want glory? This is your lucky day. Do you know what a Stradivarius violin is? You know it's valuable. Probably built in the 1700s. There are about 600 left that we know of in the world. They're worth millions of dollars, each one. Do you know who Joshua Bell is? Joshua Bell is a violinist. He's maybe the greatest violinist. He's 57 years old now, and he directs the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields orchestra. The most beautiful orchestra in the world. Well, there was a writer from the Washington Post newspaper who got the idea of dressing up Joshua Bell in casual clothes and taking his own personal violin, his Stradivarius, that he paid millions of dollars for, and to go into the subway station of Washington, D.C. at morning rush hour, and for Joshua Bell to start playing his Stradivarius violin as people were rushing around, going to work, going to shop, whatever they're going to do. They wanted to see how many people would pause, stop, to listen to the most beautiful music that the world could ever create. Joshua Bell with a Stradivarius violin, free, no cost. Guess how many stopped? It was 100. No, not 100. There were 50. No. There were 10. No. There was one. No. Not a single person paused or stopped to listen to the most beautiful music in the world, all free. You would have thought maybe somebody who knew something about music, I'm sure if our organist were walking by, she would have pulled out her cell phone and she would have called, said to her boss or whoever, cancel all of my appointments. I won't be coming in work today. I would like to think that if I had been there, I would have said to those who were rushing around, going to all these different places, stop. Look. Right before you. You'll never experience anything more beautiful in your entire life. Stop. Look. Listen. Which is in essence what we do as church, isn't it? We have been met by the power and the glory of God in Jesus Christ. The inexpressible gift, the gift that is beyond words, is right before us. And our task is to point, to say, look, listen, receive. It's free. The inexpressible gift. What we believe about this gift is that the future, God's future, is coming to us in the present. That the kingdoms, the power, and the glory, and all of God's gifts, the full course is coming. But right now we get a first course. We get an appetizer. We get a taste. We get just enough of a taste that we know there is nothing else in the world like this. This is part of what happens to us at the table. When we open our lives to God, when we take the bread and the cup, when we remember, we get a foretaste of what is to come. Amen. Let us join together in the singing of our hymn on the screen as we prepare for the table. We sing.
Glory and honor, praise, adoration.
now and forevermore. When you hear the St. Olaf College choir sing that, it is hard not to weep for the beauty of the words and the music. So we gather here at this table today, mindful that we've gathered often before, but gathering as if this is the first time. The invitation is ours. By the water and the Spirit, God has claimed us, given us the gift of this table, given us the gift of love that cannot die in the world or in our hearts. We come remembering that Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it, shared it with his friends, that Jesus took the cup after the supper. This is the blood of the new covenant shed for many for the remission of sins. Oh God, as we gather at this table now, make us one body in Christ, where each one's gifts are honored and used for the good of all. Where all submit to one another in humility and the bonds of the Spirit. And when we go from this table, send us out into the world to do justice, to show mercy, to walk humbly with you in trust and faith. Give us strength to serve you faithfully until that promised day of resurrection, when with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, and with the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Ministering to you in his name, we offer this prayer. And Jesus said, drink of this, all of you. Lord, I thank you for coming to us, bringing us to this table, offering your very self to us, giving us the strength here that we need. I direct us from this table into your world, faithful people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise together as we close our service.
Won't have any better music than that. That's wonderful. Let's bless each other as we go from this place. Go now and live in the spirit of your baptism, even when you are led into the wild and hard places. With repentance and trust, give yourself to God, and with fasting and prayer, strengthen yourselves against the ways of the tempter.
And may God enfold us in tender and lasting love. May Christ be beside us in times of struggle. And may the Spirit guide us back to the path whenever we stray. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.